Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And joining us now is the outstanding play-by-play voice of Illinois football and basketball, my good friend Brian Barnhart. Brian, how are you?
Mr. Jones, I'm glad to be on with you. What a call by Bob there. Wow.
Yeah. I hope they didn't have to give him a paper bag after that. That was kind of like, hey, come on.
He may need some lozenges after that one. Wow.
He threw everything he had into it.
Yes.
So we will start with this, Brian. You've seen it up close and personal. What has been the difference between first half Illinois and second half Illinois in each game?
Well, I think part of it is a slow start. And they just, against Toledo, it's interesting because the first drive of the year, Steve, they drove down the field against Toledo. It was about as clockwork a drive as you'll ever see. I mean, it was perfection. And they jumped up 7-0, and you thought, whoa, here we go. And then they just stopped, and they just Toledo took over the game in that first game and dominated in the second and third quarters, and it took a pick six by Illinois and their new defensive, one of their safeties, Miles Scott, to get them kind of back in the game a little bit, and then they took the lead, then they almost gave it back. And the overall problem in both games was that the defense just is not at the level that it's been the last year and a half under Brett Bielema. Of course, Ryan Walters is now the coach at Purdue. He was the defensive coordinator. And four guys in the secondary last year are now in the NFL, three of them drafted. And one was taken, of course, Devin Witherspoon in the top five. So, trying to replace those guys, has been difficult in the early going. And there's some things you could do defensively, as you know, when you've got that kind of talent that you maybe can't do with guys that are still up and comers in that position. I think they can get there eventually, and I'm pretty confident in Brett Bielema and his staff to dig down and figure it out, because we had a game a couple of years ago, Steve, the first year that Brett was here, Virginia blew us out in Charlottesville, just ran over us, and they made some big adjustments from that week to the next and went on the string of defensive excellence that we've seen over the last year and a half. So I think they'll get it figured out, but the defense has been a problem from the start in both games. Granted, they face the preseason player of the year in Jalen Daniels, who, if you've not seen him play, he is dynamite. I mean, he is unbelievably good. And then the kid at Toledo is, they scored 71 last week, Finn, and he's really good too, and a dual-threat quarterback. So, we've seen two really good ones. We're going to see another good one on Saturday. But it's been a combination, really, offense and defense. Slow starts in the first half, letting the other team get ahead, having to dig themselves out.
Yeah, because I did talk last week about the fact that Daniels was going to be back in the game. I mean, he just gave everybody fits with the way he played the game. Have you been surprised, though, at the ability of teams to – I know it's part of it's the quarterback, but teams have run the ball apparently better against Illinois than you expected. Would that be fair?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the question in our community in Champaign-Urbana and Illinois has been okay, what happened to our defense? Where did it go? Because we only gave up 6 rushing touchdowns all of last year, and already given up a handful already this year, and the other teams being able to run the ball. The defensive coordinator Aaron Henry, he didn't even take a question yesterday. He just started with an opening statement saying, yeah, it's on me. We've got to figure it out. We're not gap sound. We're not tackling well enough. We're getting pushed around. And they've got to figure out, they got to do something different, because giving up 31 points a game isn't going to get it done in any league. And even in a Big Ten league where some of the teams in the West don't score a lot, I'm thinking Iowa and some others, in Minnesota, but you got to score more than they're scoring, and you can't give up 31 a game, and it's been just a combination of things. Now Johnny Newton had a really good game the other night against Kansas. He had Daniels cornered on a couple of different occasions, and in one play right at the end of the half, which was a backbreaker, Daniels scrambled away and threw a 48-yard pass to set him up for a touchdown at the end of the first half. So, and there was another time where Johnny had him trapped in the end zone, and he got away. and he completed a first down pass on third and long. So Johnny's Newton's playing really well. Randolph had a lot of tackles, but there's just way too many tackles right now in the secondary. I think three of our top four tacklers are guys in the secondary, and it would just, you know, it's a combination of things, really, and they've got to get it figured out.
And Randolph got banged up in the fourth quarter of that game, right?
Yeah, I believe he did. Yeah, a little bit. And Julian Pearl on the offensive line, that's been the other thing, Steve, is we ran the ball so well last year, and
yes,
you knew you couldn't replace Chase Brown completely because he ran for 1,600 yards and 2,600 over the last 2 years. But, you know, you've got Reggie Love, who's a good back, was a good backup back. He's got to step up. McCray was hurt almost all of last year. And the other two guys are either redshirt freshmen or just true freshmen. But the offensive line has struggled. They've got a new center, Josh Kreutz, who comes from the great Kreutz family with the Bears. I mean he's going to be fine, but he's new, you know, playing now. And we've had our two previous centers go to the NFL. So there's some changes there. The right side of the line has struggled probably more than the left, which is probably stronger with Isaiah Adams and Julian Pearl on that side. But yeah, they've got it up front, as you know, is where you win games. And right now they're not winning up front. Toledo pushed them around too, and that was a problem, and they can't afford to do that. And they're facing a really good Penn State team, of course, this weekend.
All right. Something that's also happened too is that Illinois has become, because out of necessity, almost like a portal destination at quarterback. And last year it was DeVito. This year it's Altmyer. What have you seen the pluses out of Luke Altmyer so far through two games?
Well, I would say two things. One is his arm is stronger. He throws a really good deep ball. I think by the end of last year, teams had, especially in the Michigan State game and the Purdue game late in the year, and of course Michigan, but when it was close, but teams said, hey, we know you don't have a deep threat. You're not going to throw it deep, so we're going to take away your short passing game. We're going to put eight in the box. We're going to stop Chase Brown, you know, figure it out, and it was tough to score. And so I think what Altmyer brings is, he throws a really pretty ball. It comes out of his hand really nice. He's got a strong arm. And the other thing is DeVito was somewhat mobile and would run when he could, but Altmyer has already scored a 72-yard touchdown the other day against Kansas.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to run, and he's really effective with it. And he gets down when he needs to. He doesn't, let himself open to a big hit. And he's just a smart, calm, pretty quiet guy, but, has shown his teammates a lot of toughness. They really respect him. DeVito was a little more animated, a little bit more, like Brandon Peters, I think, before him.
Sure.
But Luke's impressed his team with his demeanor, and he even in the fourth quarter drive against Toledo, where we were down, to come back and win the game, he winked at Brett Bielema on the way in and said, "I've got it, I've got this," and that shows a lot of confidence. And I think the guys have responded to that.
Yeah, Isaiah Williams. I mean, geez, I go back to the COVID game back in 2020, empty stadium. He was a handful when he played quarterback, and then they did the smart thing and they moved him out to wide receiver. In this offense, is he really the go-to big play guy that Illinois is always aching to have?
Yeah, they need him to be big. He had 99 yards last week.
He sure did.
And he's
impressed.
He's very fast. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's fast. They try to get it to him with jet sweeps. You know, they try to get it in his hands. With slant passes, they want to use him even more. In fact, Barry Lunney, the offensive coordinator, says we got to get it to him more. We need to make sure we get it to him. I think the guy that's emerged a little bit as a little deeper threat is Pat Bryant, number 13. You'll see him. He's a big receiver, 6'3", and I know the scouts like him. And he can go up and get a ball. And then between him and Casey Washington, I'm sure you remember him, had a great catch against Toledo to save us at the end of the game, diving catch about 30-some yards. And he's a really good hands guy. So, and the tight ends, they've been throwing to the tight ends more here this year. Too, which is you would expect from a Brett Bielema offense. So, but Williams is, he's the motor's engine. He's the one that makes it go and stirs the drink. I mean, he's fast. He runs great routes. He's really learned that wide receiver position, The only difficulty he has is, like, we had a 50-50 ball he battled for the other night against Kansas, and the ball was taken away from him just by a bigger secondary guy. But other than that, he's got everything you want.
All right, let me ask you about the atmosphere in the stadium. What has the Bielema era done to juice up the fan base? And I know it's going to be an orange out on Saturday. I also know there are tickets available, too. So, you know, what is the atmosphere like? Because I know what it's like to walk into Assembly Hall, State Farm Arena, whatever the sponsor of the month happens to be, and you know, and then go to Memorial Stadium, because people in Illinois love their football. But, you know, obviously, Brian, you would know firsthand, it's been a fight. So what's the atmosphere like now?
Well, you know, it's funny. They sold 10,000 more season tickets than they had last year. So that's, you know, that's a step up in the, you know, and definitely in the right direction. I know when you're Penn State or you're Ohio State and you're Michigan and you're drawing 100-some thousand every game, that's probably just a drop in the bucket. But for Illinois, that's a big deal. And to get that many tickets coming into this year after going to a New Year's Day Bowl last year. So I think there was some, this was about excited as the community's been about football in quite a while, ever since maybe near the end of the Zook era, right after the Rose Bowl team and in 07 in that range. They won a couple of bowl games back-to-back in 10 and 11, but hadn't been that kind of energy in the community since then. So I think the atmosphere will be fantastic. I mean, it the one thing that hurts a little bit is an 11 o'clock start as opposed to a night game. I think our fans really love the night games, and to get the student body there, as you know, at 11 o'clock in the morning is a bit of a trick. But, you know, I think the other thing that maybe tamped down the enthusiasm a little bit maybe this week, and I think it'll still be there, but was the loss to Kansas and the way they lost, you know, being down so far. Now, they came back and made it fairly close, within, you know, about 10 points or so. But, you know, that was a little disappointing and a little concern about the defense. And we've had too many years of, you know, having a really good year, and then the next year has been disappointing. And, you know, some people that jump on and off bandwagons, they go, well, here we go again. You know, we raised our hopes up, and now we're not going to be that good. And I'm like, well, I think we're still going to be really good. I have confidence in what Brett Bielema does, and but he's been great about selling tickets and getting out there in the public, and he's on the radio all the time, you know, promoting tickets, and does a great job at our radio shows and mingling with the public. So there's been a lot of excitement, and this is for football, and I think you experienced this a little bit, maybe in reverse too, with football and basketball. But you know, if basketball doesn't win 20 games, people are really upset. You know, they really get upset with the basketball team. And with football, it's like they're pretty easy to please with football. If you just win 7, 8, 9 games and be competitive, be like Iowa, be consistent. You know, be like Minnesota, just win consistently. You'll win the fans. They'll show up in big numbers. You just got to prove that you can do it. And that's the thing that Brett Bielema has talked about, is bringing consistent success here, because we just haven't had it. And I think he's got a plan for it. And but, you know, again, they've got to figure out the defense, you know, as they get ready for Penn State. But the schedule the rest of the way, I think these are three of the tougher games they were going to play. Toledo, the defending MAC champions, and the favorites, at Kansas, and then with you guys coming in, Penn State. After that, there's no Michigan, there's no Ohio State. You've got Wisconsin at home. You know, you're at Minnesota. You're at Iowa. Nebraska's here on a Friday night. I mean, those are all winnable games at Purdue. So the schedule kind of breaks out in their favor after this. If they could just get through this early sequence, they could still have a really good season.
Pennsylvania's great high school football. So I'll leave you, everybody, on this. Illinois has terrific high school football, too. What kind of job has Brett and the staff done of making sure they solidify relationships within that state as pipelines on talent?
Oh, they've done a fantastic job. I think that was the the day Brett was hired, it was the day we were playing out in Happy Valley, the COVID year, when Lovie Smith had been fired and Rod Smith ran the team out there. in Happy Valley, and then Brett Bielema got hired there in, I guess, December of 2020. And
Brett was at the game at Penn State.
At the game, yeah.
Yeah,
he was at the game. And that morning he got hired by Josh Whitman, the very first call he made was to the head of the Illinois Coaches Association to say, hey, we're going to visit every school in the state, all the rural communities and downstate, Chicago and the suburbs. We're gonna call everybody. We're going to go see them, whether you have a player or not. And now, at this time, going into this season of the 120 people that are on the roster, counting walk-ons and everybody else,
sure,
half of the team is from the state of Illinois, which is a remarkable turnaround. Because, I mean, I think it was in the low teens at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Under Lovie Smith, and that was the one thing that people that I heard, because I emceed high school coaches inductions, Hall of Fame coaches every year, and I would hear the same complaint that, you know, Lovie Smith needed to interact more with us, you know, and recruit the state, and I would hear it from the coaches, so I knew the relationship wasn't good. And then Brett Bielema has completely turned that around, so they've even hired a longtime high school coach in the state to be his director of high school football relationships.
Yep.
And so they've got one of their own respected coaches, Pat Ryan, is a guy who won, you know, some state titles and is respected in the high school community. He's their liaison. And they just did some things to really connect with the high school. And so now they're getting kids out of the suburbs that in recent years went to Iowa or went to Minnesota or went to Wisconsin, and keeping those kids in home. So I think 59 guys are from the state of Illinois, which is a fast improvement.
Brian, always a pleasure. I know you and I are going to talk here in just a few minutes about a few other things, but I look forward, really, my friend, to seeing you on Saturday. Should be terrific.
Well, it will be, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys, too. It'd be good to have Penn State in town, and I know our fans will be ready, and Penn State's a big draw, and I've got more requests for tickets for this game than I have in a while. So I think there's, hey, you got Penn State tickets? Yeah, I'll work on that. So,
well, I wouldn't have put that out there to the Penn State fan base, Brian. I mean, now they're going to call you.
Yeah. Well, they can text me, so that's fine.
Once again, Brian's number is, no, I'm just kidding. Brian, appreciate it, my friend.
All right, very good. Thank you, sir.